The whole world as they knew it, dominated everywhere by Roman power, was completely out of control that day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. If we turn to the poets and the historians of the age like Virgil and Tacitus and Livy and Seneca, we discover that they were vicious in their criticism of the society in which they lived. Quoting them, we read, "Wars, destruction, broken promises everywhere. Honor no longer exists. This is a time rich in disasters. Peace is savage. Slaves are bribed to betray their masters. And the good man who has no enemies, he'll be destroyed by his friends. This is an age of moral suicide. The earth only brings forth fools and cowards. And we never ask what something has, if it has any value. We never ask that question. All you hear is, how much does it cost? Many felt that their gods had abandoned them, and the poet Juvenal summed it up in one of his most famous writings by saying, "Whoever God is, right now, he must be looking down, hating us, and laughing." And on that fateful day in Jerusalem, the crowds on the spur of the moment, feeling the thrill of something different with a sense of anticipation, are shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," at this great, supposedly great man who is appearing on a donkey's colt. And the disciples, caught up in the enthusiasm and the thrill of the moment, let their voices rise in joyful abandon. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And many of the crowd joined them in their cry, and palms were torn branch from branch, and some were waved in glad adoration, and some were thrown on the ground, and some even took their cloaks off and threw them on the ground to form a carpet of welcome. For their world was about to change, and they cannot wait. Well, Jesus, in the middle of all this outcry, in the middle of all this anticipation, in the middle of this save us cacophony that was rising from the crowd, he sat silently, swaying back and forth as the donkey's colt moved, with his eyes and his heart and his spirit set on his destiny. Nothing will stop him now. You see, at that time, salvation was what people wanted, to be saved. It was the one thing which many people in many places were searching for. They wanted a wall to be built around them to defend them from what they saw as the advancing chaos of a world in turmoil. But those same Roman writers that I just quoted, talking about a time of disasters and God laughing at them, they also wrote of the deep, deep need for a hospital for sick souls, a medicine for salvation, a hand reaching down from on high to lift them up. They were seeking a peace beyond anything that is within Caesar's power and could only come from a god. It's no wonder that those crowds in the spur of the moment were feeling the thrill of something different and bubbling over with anticipation and shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." It's no wonder that the disciples were caught up in the thrill of the moment. They had been following and listening and living with Christ, making these great claims, doing these miracles, raising Lazarus from the dead, and here they were entering the great holy city crying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And those palms and cloaks were certainly thrown in welcome. But still, Jesus sat silently, swaying back and forth on the animal, setting his eyes and his heart and his spirit on what he knew was about to come. And nothing would stop him now. They wanted to be saved from danger. They wanted to be saved from physical illness. They wanted to be saved and protected from the infection of the corruption and the perversion that they saw all around them. They wanted to be saved from their gods who they felt had turned to hate and laugh at them. They wanted to be saved because they were lost. And no wonder they cheered and celebrated, because someone said, "This is the Messiah. This is the one. He is entering the city to challenge all the powers that rule our lives and slay all those evil dragons which seem to be baying at our heels." But Jesus quite simply remained silent, heading for what he knew must happen, and putting not just his faith, but his whole life in the promises of his Father. No wonder they were excited. No wonder they cried out, "Hosanna." No wonder they waved those palms. No wonder they cheered and applauded. But they were thinking in human and political terms. A new kingdom, a new king. They would have self-rule. They would have freedom. They would have equity. They would have joy. They would have a mighty ruler who would right all wrongs and feed the poor and help the hungry and the destitute and make everything a perfect society. Jesus was silent because he knew that that was humanity's way of salvation, a way that has and still is tried over and over and over again. And how's that working for you? Now, his eyes were set beyond the horizon, and nothing will stop him now, because Jesus alone knew that the new kingdom would not be like any other. Jesus alone knew that the people of the kingdom will be not looking for a defensive wall to build around them to protect them from the chaos. No, he knew that they were going to be sent out to engage the chaos and tame it and defeat it. Jesus knew that the kingdom will challenge human society and even human nature and demand that we set aside fear and greed and self and replace it with love and trust, with faith and forgiveness. And his eyes were set on that role. His eyes were set on that outcome. And nothing will stop him now. Nothing will stop him now, because he is determined to bring real salvation to sick souls, real salvation to a sick world, real salvation through sacrifice and love. And the crowd's hosanna was soon to turn to crucify him, for they did not understand. And the disciples, blessed as he, was soon turned to shock and doubt and fear, because they did not understand. And Jesus, he sat silent, not a word, as he rode through that great, exuberant, noisy crowd, as he rode through those gates of Jerusalem, as he entered the holy city. He knew that nothing will stop him now. Amen. Let's rise and sing.